The following content is intended for people who are blind or Brent impaired.
Engage.
You are listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm Chris Skidmore, and this is Tech Tips. Support is just as important as technology. That is something that is sometimes overlooked when it comes to people dealing with vision loss. You Don't Look Blind is an online peer support group dedicated to helping people with vision loss, along with their sighted caregivers, get that support. What started out as a local group in the Denver, Colorado area is now an international support group with over 1,700 members on their Facebook page alone. Join me this month as I talk with Rob and Jamie Lee about You Don't Look Blind. Rob, Jamie, welcome to Tech Tips.
Thank you.
Glad we can be here.
Welcome to Tech Tips. Before we start diving into You Don't Look Blind, let's talk a little bit about you guys, and this is going to be a jump ball opportunity. Who is Rob and who is Jamie?
So I was diagnosed with retinitis pigmentosa at the age of 13 in 1980. And I met Jamie in 1998, mm-hmm. and it was a best part of my life. And you are?
And I'm Jamie. So I met Rob, like he said, in 98. I had no connection to the blind community. We just started talking and we were having really good conversations. As we kept going, he made sure to introduce me to his support group.
Mm-hmm.
Just so I knew what I was getting into. I've learned a lot.
And as the spouse of someone with a visual impairment, how has that changed your life?
I now find it extremely difficult to walk into a restaurant with a friend and not ask questions like, you got me? Do you need my elbow? I've been a sighted guide now for 26 years. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. Congratulations on that.
But along with that, I worked in corporate America for 33 something years. And when I retired back in 2022, Jamie says,
I need health insurance.
Yeah, I need health insurance. So I'm going to go find a job. She starts working for a center for independent living called the
Center for People with Disabilities
as a beyond vision skills trainer. So she goes to folks that are newly blind, calling these SILs for, hey, I need help. And she goes in and helps them understand what puffy paint is and bump dots and talk to them about low-end technology and high-end techs.
Mm-hmm. I can go help people learn about the Talking Book Library and learn about Hadley and know what puffy paint is.
Yeah.
Now, that stuff has been super simple. It's really kind of lovely that I can use that knowledge and help more people.
But it's, for somebody who had no training, living with me, getting on-the-job training for 25 years, this position was just a great,
amazing.
She's like, wait, you mean instead of giving our help away, I can get paid for this? This is great.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's fun stuff about us, right? I was born and raised here in Denver, and right after my diagnosis, we connected with a support group that had been started by another mom in the area. His daughter had been diagnosed with Usher syndrome. And so it had been going on for a couple, 3 years.
And this was what year?
This would have been February of 81 when I first went to a meeting. And, I'm a young kid and I walk into this room with my parents and surrounded by a bunch of gray-haired old people with white canes. And this room didn't look like me, but it also showed me that as people had husbands and wives and children and careers and
lives,
there was nothing to be afraid of. 45 years later, and I'm running that same core group of peer support. And we've gone nationwide because I am passionate about peer support, that my life of degenerative vision loss would not have been as, I don't want to say simple, and I don't want to say as easy, but it would not have been as
isolating.
The pain and suffering that I experienced was much less than it could have been if I did not have peer support and people showing me, been there, done that, you can get through this as well.
I think that's the biggest obstacle, if you will, that we as blind and low vision people have to, for lack of a better word, deal with is mm-hmm. that feeling of isolation, because we all go through it.
And the other half of that is, as we have new people come into the room and they're in shock and they're in pain and they're in distress, is to let them know that what you're feeling is absolutely normal, it's natural, and do not deny yourself, right? This emotion yeah. is real.
Yeah.
Just because that I've moved past that stage doesn't mean that you're not allowed to go through it.
Right. Right? Doesn't mean that it's not painful.
Yeah.
Or really overwhelming.
Or, you know, this losing your vision is scary. Any yes. type of disability, this is scary. Mm-hmm. And that emotional roller coaster that you're on is legitimately real. Yeah. And it is your right to experience it in however you need to deal with that. And being in a support group allows you that comfort to say, okay, it's okay for me to cry. It's okay for me to be angry. But what we do hope is that you can help move past the anger and help move past the bitterness mm-hmm. into a state that says, okay, that's an interesting place to be, but that's not how I want to live today. How long do you want to be angry and sitting in the corner and waiting for people to bring you a plate of food? You know, we're here to help everybody on the journey. And, you know, so here, like I said, 45 years later, I'm that cranky old gray-haired fart with my white cane telling uh-huh. people, been there, done that. You can do this too.
Right.
For the longest time, I would not use my cane anywhere. It incubated in my drawer for I don't know how many years. You know, my wife, my eye doctors would go, you really need to start using your cane. And I'm going, and I'd be polite and say, yeah, okay, you're probably right. It still sat in that drawer. And only within the last few years has it started coming out more and more. And I credit that change to going to Chicago for one of the Visions conferences. I'd always gone with my wife. She'd always gone with me. And this time she was like, nope, I can't do it. It's not that I don't want to. I can't do it. You've been to Chicago enough. You know your way around. You know how to get from point A to point B. And if you're going to go, you're going by yourself. The flip side is, when I got home, as crazy as it sounds, I felt this huge wave of accomplishment, because I went from a tiny little podunk town to the, you know, third largest city in the world, in the country.
The nation, right?
Yeah. And I got along okay.
So were you using your white cane to identify and accept help?
I used it a lot. I have what they call useful vision.
Yes, yeah.
So I'm legally blind, like you.
I'm not legally blind. I'm illegally sighted. So.
That too. And I use that one every once in a while as well.
Anyways, back to your story.
Yeah. So
you have usable vision, mm-hmm. and that cane is out there for your identification, so others know as you're struggling or looking confused that, hey, there's a reason, and you manage yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
The joy of our peer support groups, right, mm-hmm. is in 45 years of me dealing with my low vision, I have seen everybody talk about their journey of a white cane, when to use it, when not to, why I don't, you know, the male pride, the female fear, all of these different issues. And everybody along that path makes their own decisions, their own choice. When do I use the white cane? When do I not? How do I use the white cane? Right? All of those circumstances, all of those things are absolutely fair for everybody. But being in a peer support group, everybody gets to share their story of the successes of when they use the white cane and the pain they went through when they didn't. When you hear other people's stories and you live it yourself, I think that's what helps other folks come to a point in their life that maybe says, you know, I think maybe it is time.
I feel less uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I can see, you know, I'm getting the idea that this might really save me.
Right. And again, it's not for everybody, right? Whether even for a dog, right? The whole people saying, I need a guide dog, but I have imposter syndrome, that I have way too much vision to mm-hmm. be able to use a guide dog. You feel you need a dog and would benefit from it for your safety, go apply for a guide dog.
Yeah.
You know, they'll let you know whether you're two-sighted or not. Part of their program. Don't limit yourself. Ask the questions. And it is such a joy of being able to help people and watch them And by no means am I saying, you know, as part of our group, oh, you don't look blind, but here, put this white cane in your hand and claim it. Is by when you're ready. That's one of the cool things that we do here in Denver is I've got a pop-up tent. We'll go to the park, put up a table, and I lay out my 15 different styles of white canes and 15 different tips and do a white cane event and just show the public all these different white canes that are available to people. Mm-hmm. When I went to the retina specialist and I said, yeah, we do this. And he says, there's different kinds of white canes? ? It's yeah. Like, you know, as a highly educated person, very specialized and well-known in their field.
But no idea.
Because they're curing vision problems, not trying to find out what to do or how to live your life when you're blind.
And it's funny because I didn't know till just recently the red section of the cane is mm-hmm. supposed to denote you have low vision, but you still may need help. I didn't know that.
There is a visual clue on white canes.
A visual code.
Yeah, visual code that the public is supposed to be aware of, and we in the blind community don't know what that code is.
Right. Yeah.
Well, and so much of the general public doesn't even know what a white cane is. There's a code. And, you know, if you put green stripes on or so in the UK, the red tip means that you are both that you're deaf blind, both hearing okay. and vision.
And it depends in different countries. One had a green stripes meant something mm-hmm. here in the States. Two red stripes is deaf blind. One red stripe is low vision. All white is all blind.
And I love that we got totally off topic, but a lot of this information is important.
Yeah. We just don't know what we don't know.
Yeah.
And part of peer support, what I really love about peer support groups is that we help educate each other. Mm-hmm. The connections that we have made because of our group, somebody will be in the group, make some offhand comment, and it changes the life for somebody else who's like, whoa, time out. What did you just say? What are you talking about? I've never heard of that. I've never thought of that. And for the other person, it was a throwaway. This is common sense. We do this all the time. Mm-hmm. Again, we don't think about what's important. And it doesn't matter whether that comment came from somebody who's brand new to the situation or has been living it for decades. It goes both ways in our peer support groups. And lo and behold, that value of sharing stories is what helps us continue to improve our daily lives. And that's why I really feel that peer support is so important, and why I feel that doctors, when they give us a diagnosis or a label, that we're really trying to push and promote to these doctors, you need to push on, move these people on to core services. You need to refer them. And help.
Get training.
And not just say, here's your diagnosis, you're going blind, see you in a year. because we've heard the story of people going home and ignoring their diagnosis until they finally are totally blind. And then they're like, well, I don't know what to do, so I'm going to sit here in the corner. We can't reach everyone, right? We're doing what you can with your podcast, Chris. Mm-hmm. We're doing what we can to be here. We love this opportunity. But the idea that if the people don't make the choice to reach out for some type of help, that's the first step, reaching for help. And then that second step is learning to accept help.
You are so correct. It's okay to carry a cane. It's okay to ask somebody for help. It is important for people, especially who are new to vision loss, to realize this, that it's that you're not making yourself a target by going, hey, I need help doing this. Thank God that right now there are so many pieces of assistive technology that are out there now that I never had.
Tech Tips is on the North Carolina Reading Service.
We are talking with Rob and Jamie of You Don't Look Blind. And guys, you've kind of touched on this a little bit earlier, but I want to, you know, maybe get a little bit more information. What prompted you to start You Don't Look Blind?
We started back in the late 70s by another group of people. And as I grew up as this, you know, young teenager and continued to go to monthly peer support groups and stay involved with this group of people, and as folks, you know, as they do, grow old and disappear in our lives, in their honor, we keep going. Right. And so here it is, 45 years later, there was a need for a support group. And people were like, hey, we want this. Like, well, we have one. It's right here. This is when we meet socially.
So the virtual part really came out of COVID. We didn't adopt the name
right away. Yeah.
Not right away until we moved out from under the umbrella of the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
When we did that, we had to come up with a name. That drove us. It was Rob and I and his sister Amy.
And yeah, it's half a dozen different.
Larry
yeah,
and
yeah, bunch of people were passing around ideas for names, and we just kept coming back to, "You Don't Look Blind."
It was only a joke.
Yeah. It's a joke, but it's funny, but it's catchy.
And it's so real for so many people
that,
you know, we experience this on a regular basis where people tell Rob, well, you don't look blind. And we just couldn't get away from it. So we said, okay, we're just going with this. But it's that lack of understanding that your physical eyes may not look damaged, that you may still wear glasses, and you may still make eye contact. That really confuses the sighted people.
And sometimes that's fun for us.
Absolutely. And so we play with it. That's what led to our buttons. There's always people that don't want to use their white cane. Mm-hmm. And there's times when you're using a white cane that's either on the floor or it's folded up. And people don't think you look blind. So we started making buttons. The common ones often said, "I have low vision." People are kind of dumb. They don't know what low vision means.
No, they don't.
There have been people who misunderstand them.
Yeah.
I have low vision. Well, does that mean you don't have any dreams?
Is that a political platform? What does that mean? I have low vision. And so we have a button making machine, and we created our own buttons that say, "I can't see you." That was the first button we made.
Because most people will understand that.
Yeah.
Even if they can't read very well and they say, "I can see you." What?
Yeah.
And I mean, I've got a shirt that says "I can see, but can't." It's complicated.
Right.
Right.
We have to be able to laugh.
And so in the process of creating more buttons, we've created, "I know I look good, but I don't see well." I drive a stick.
I like it.
My favorite is, "I'm blind. What's your excuse?"
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we have to have some snark.
And then what is it? "Don't you know? Don't you know who I am? I'm a celebrity, S-E-E-lebrity."
I like it.
Because one of the ladies finally traveled with a white cane, and she says, "Why didn't you tell me that I would be treated like a celebrity as soon as I started carrying this white cane?" I said, "Well, you've only been coming to this group for 3 years, and we have been telling you."
Do you find that support is more important for people who are new to vision loss or who have been experiencing vision loss for a long time?
My personal opinion is that a balance in the room is important. When you're in a room of nothing but brand new people, and they're all experiencing, they're scared and their fear and their depression, that, you know, that's more of group counseling, right?
It can really turn into a pity party very quickly. And we hear a lot of people say, "Oh, I don't want to go to a support group because I don't feel like crying."
Yeah, mm-hmm. And understanding that a support group is not meant to be group therapy for mental health.
No.
It can be, because there have been transformative moments, right?
And there are sad stories that make us all cry.
Yeah, it does happen. But most of the time, somebody comes into a room and says, "This is the challenge I experienced this week or this month." Mm-hmm. And nine other people will tell their stories about how I did something similar. Mm-hmm. I have something embarrassing, you know, so on and so forth. Right.
And it turns into laughter because it's like, "Oh, you think that's bad. I listen to what I did."
Yeah.
And then the other half of, if you're in a room full of people that have been dealing with their vision for, you know, anywhere from 5 to 50 years, then it's just old social town, because we're not talking about how to make our daily lives better, because we're all living our best lives. And that's why I really think peer support is best when we have a balance between new and old.
The more that you stay at home or you stay, you know, in isolation, it not only is it bad for you physically, it is, like you said, bad for you mentally. You turn into what my mother-in-law, and aptly so, would refer to as a toxic person.
And lo and behold, then these are the people who are like, "I don't have anybody around me. I don't have any family. You know, my husband's gone. My kids, I never had kids.
And nobody helps me.
And I've got no neighbors, nobody to be friends with." And it's like, that's when you reach out for community.
Take the focus
off yourself. And lo and behold, you start connecting with other people.
Yes.
And it's better.
Exactly. What would you say is the most or most frequent type of support that people get from these monthly meetings?
I think what I've gotten to witness is people encouraging each other to go out in public and face whatever they have to face, whether it's fear of being judged, fear of being vulnerable, the encouragement from other people to say, yeah, I've done that too, and this is how it turned out, and this is what I said when somebody made some silly comment that was, yeah, look over there.
I think one of the biggest things that comes out of our peer support groups over the years is a sense of connection with others.
Yeah.
And that community leads to problem solving. And the problem solving leads to connections. We talk about, hey, I can come over and visit with you, or we can, hey, here's my phone number, call me, we'll have a chat. Mm-hmm. And those kinds of connections that take place, then they say, hey, this is what I'm dealing with. And they start sharing resources, right? So we obviously, in peer support, we love to share our resources and we try to keep track of those and pass them on to folks. Being in the room and hearing this stuff firsthand, I think is the biggest connection, because we've seen lifetime friendships come out of these rooms.
We've seen people have told us, I feel more hopeful mm-hmm. about my future.
And it definitely, we've seen people come one time and I don't hear from them for years. I will connect up with them and they're like, oh yeah, I haven't come back. But you know, I started doing this and I did this and I did this research online and I'm watching this and I'm connecting with this group of people. And it's like that one meeting opened up their doors, opened up their eyes. And I really do want people to keep coming back to share their stories, their successes, the challenges, whatever that case would be, because their stories are of value. More and more, I really do think when the minority of I've experienced a challenge, this was frustrating for me, this was my emotional down this month, you know, oh man, this sucked for me. And everybody's there to say, we're there, we hug you, lots of love, you know, you're going to get through this. And then the next month they come back and said, had a great month this month. You know, and it's that month after month of connection that I really valued. And I can't have a big enough room for everybody to come back every month, right? And I would love to have everybody in our peer support groups. And unfortunately, not everybody wants to be there every month, and not everybody can be there on the night that we schedule.
Life happens.
Yeah. But what I am stressing is that no matter where you are, third Tuesday of every month, this room is going to be open for whoever wants to be there.
Yeah.
And whoever shows up. And that's the important thing that I want people to know, is that when you want us, we're here consistently. We are here for you when you want us, no matter how much I want you there all the time.
Yeah.
You know, I have to respect that we're not the end all be all for everybody.
No.
But when we love that our room is here for you, and I hope that we make it welcoming and open and comfortable enough for you to want to come back.
You're listening to Tech Tips on the North Carolina Reading Service. We are talking with Rob and Jamie Lee of You Don't Look Blind. Knowing that you are primarily based out of Denver, Colorado, is there anything coming up nationally that folks around the country may be able to take part in?
We're doing an AmbuTech nationwide group order for white cane and accessories. So okay. AmbuTech is one of the leading manufacturers of white canes, right?
But
in Canada.
And they're in Canada, and they charge a lot for shipping. You know, you order a $35 or $25 white cane, and you get charged an extra $15 or $20 just to have it shipped to you.
Yep.
And so we offer a service where you tell me what you want. I place the order. I pay for it with my credit card. It ships to my house, and then I deliver it to you, or I ship it to you via Free Matter for the Blind, and then you pay me back. And we get a 10% discount, because the last three orders we've done have been more than $300 worth of orders.
Mm-hmm. And that's amazing.
Yeah. And it's a way you can order some of these canes off of Amazon, because mm-hmm. AmbuTech has a store, and you can get things quickly, but you can't customize anything. Because of that, people end up getting a cane that is a little bit less than the catalog price, because we all ordered as a group, and it's usually big enough they waive the shipping.
Yeah. And okay. Lo and behold, 10% discount, no shipping. That's great for us. And it's like, well, what are you getting out of this? And I said, the joy that you have a cane in your hand that you're happy with. And so we've shipped an all purple cane to North Carolina.
Yep.
Oh, that's awesome.
So if you see an all purple cane,
I'll know where it came from.
We're working with Rob.
I know where it came from. How can people learn more about You Don't Look Blind as far as websites, socials, all that good fun stuff?
Unfortunately, we do not have a website. If you go to youdontlookblind.com, that is me, but it's not an updated website.
No.
Fair.
Our Facebook group is, you know, Facebook groups, You Don't Look Blind. And the best way to find out about us is send us an email, youdontlookblind@gmail.com. And that's all one word, no apostrophe, no spaces. youdontlookblind@gmail.com. We'll reply with our monthly email that says, hey, here's the in-person and virtual meetings that we're hosting, as well as a long list of others that other folks have found value in.
Awesome. Last question. What is the one thing you would like somebody to take away from this who has never participated or thought about participating in a peer support group?
The one thing that I would like people to know about You Don't Look Blind and peer support groups is that you may not think you need peer support, but you need to be there for somebody else, because your story could change somebody else's life. And you don't know that until you participate.
I couldn't have said it any better myself. You guys meet the third Tuesday of each month. And if you would, refresh my memory and give me those times again when people can join in via the Zoom platform.
7 p.m. Eastern until midnight, because this is nationwide and we actually have international participants. We keep this room open so that you come when you can, you leave when you want. It's an open house format, and it accommodates everybody across the country.
And on that note, again, thank you very much. And I can't wait to talk with you guys again.
Wonderful.
Chris, it's awesome to be with you. Thank you for having us. It's an honor.
It is. It's been my pleasure.
It's ours too. It's nice to get to talk to you off, as we've done. Chris, thank you so much.
Once again, the easiest way to join the You Don't Look Blind Facebook group is to type You Don't Look Blind in the search box. Their email address is youdontlookblind@gmail.com. And as a reminder, You Don't Look Blind is all one word with no apostrophe. The nationwide virtual meeting occurs the third Tuesday of each month from 7 p.m. to midnight Eastern via Zoom. I would like to thank Rob and Jamie once again. I had a blast talking with them, and their time was greatly appreciated. We've run out of time for this month's episode of Tech Tips. I hope you've enjoyed it. If there's something you'd like covered in a future episode, send an email to techtipspodcast@gmail.com. I'm Chris Skidmore for the North Carolina Reading Service. Tech Tips is available online by visiting our website at ncreadingservice.org. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. If you have questions or comments about the North Carolina Reading Service, visit us online at ncreadingservice.org or give us a call. Our telephone number is 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to Tech Tips on the North Carolina Reading Service.